on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Our privilege today to welcome Paul Batura. He serves as the editor-in-chief of the Daily Citizen and Focus on the Family into our conversation. Paul, thanks for taking the time today.
Well, thank you, Steve. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, here we are, 25 years since 9/11, and we all have often heard it said, any of us that are old enough to remember, we remember exactly where we were. And I want to draw the audience to an article that you wrote for the Daily Citizen. TheDailyCitizen.org is the website to go to. And not just today to catch up with this article from Paul, but daily, relevant content we'll be covering issues important to you and to your family. Paul, let's walk through some of what you shared in the article. And, just the title, we still need the courage to confront evil. We all remember graphically what occurred 25 years ago. I want to ask what prompted you to write it, but that's easy to figure out. You share some important points in that. Where would you like to start as you want to share the content of the article you wrote that's available today?
Well, thank you, Steve. Well, I mean, just for context, I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up on Long Island. On 9/11, my dad and my brother were in the city. I commuted into New York City for a time when I was in college working at a radio station there. So when that morning hit and all of the evil became just splashed across the networks, it hit hard for all of us, of course. And then you don't know what's going on. I mean, the phones were down. It was impossible to get in touch with anybody. All we were watching was what we saw on TV, and just an emotional time. Peggy Noonan wrote this past week that she'll never get over it. And I think for a lot of people, we may move on, but we really don't get over it. I mean, when's the last time any of us saw 3,000 people killed live on television all at once? I mean, that's what happened when those towers fell. So I appreciate you giving a highlight to this story today, because again, the years roll on, but the impact remains. And I was just thinking this morning, it's impossible to measure the lost impact of 2,977 people. It's compounding, things that will never happen, people that will never meet, good things that won't happen because those people were taken from us. And it's a tragic anniversary, but a sober one and an important one to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's these milestones in American history, whether it's the Alamo, although, of course, Texas at the time, not part of the Union. In our lifetime, I think equivalent to what young people are experiencing today in our time would have been World War II and the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. It's hard to really see it three-dimensionally when you weren't there and you don't remember. But to get into the mind that we had after the first plane hit, there was, that's tragic. How could that have happened? Was it air control error? Was it weather? Was it, pilot error? And actually my first thought went back to a bomber that had run into the Empire State Building in the 50s, and it was tragic then, but that tower stood, as the towers were burning, I felt like, this is tragic, but they'll get the people out and they'll put out the fire, and that's not what occurred. I mean, another plane hit and then another at the Pentagon, and then another went down in Pennsylvania. And all of us, I think, that were experiencing it knew that the United States was under attack and were looking to the skies, like, what's going to happen next? So there was a lot of uncertainty. And I think, the young people today hear what happened, and Like, okay, we knew what was happening and it was a short time and it was over. But the truth is, for days, planes weren't in the air, and it was just a milestone on the timeline of American history that resonates with all of us who remember it. And I love some of what you wrote in the article about, you know, what the team at Focus on the Family did, how important it is to really not forget.
Now, I appreciate you giving color to that and to the uncertainty that we were all feeling at the time. I have a buddy who lives in Manhattan, and he would tell me the days after, you know, planes would go roaring over Manhattan, and they were fighter jets. But he said people were visibly, you know, shaken. They would look up and somebody would yell out, "They're one of ours." I mean, literally, that was what, you know, you would never think about that today. But back then, anything bad seemed possible. Like, you thought, when is the next shoe going to drop? And that is important, I think, for perspective. And, you know, you're talking about World War II. It struck me that the amount of time now, today to 2001, is in 25 years, is the same amount of time as it was from the day I was born almost to the end of World War II, which, you know, that seemed like ancient history to me, you know, when I was a little kid. But it doesn't seem like that long ago that we were navigating 9/11. But indeed, the years roll on. There's 100 million individuals born today, alive today, that were not alive back on September 11th, 2001. So that is a huge section of people. I mean, 100 million people, that's almost a third of our country.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something you shared in the article was something directly from the 9/11 Commission. And I want to read through that. It says, plans to attack the United States were developed with unwavering single-mindedness throughout the 1990s. Bin Laden saw himself as called to, quote, to follow in the footsteps of the messenger, capital M, and to communicate his message to all nations, unquote, and to serve as the rallying point and organizer of a new kind of war to destroy America and bring the world to Islam. And, you know, I saw a recent meme. I want to bring this into current headlines. I saw a recent meme that kind of resonated with me, and I don't have it exact, but pretty close, if not exact. The meme stated, the DSA, which we're all familiar with, the DSA thinks it's using Muslims to usher in socialism, but the truth is the Muslims are using the DSA to usher in Islam. What Bin Laden wanted to accomplish, the caliphate that they're part of, you know, it didn't end at 9/11. And I want to give you a chance, Paul, to speak to, you know, what we've already talked about, looking back at what's happened, looking back at what is real, and what can we take and learn from what happened 25 years ago.
No, Steve, I appreciate that, because it's one thing to make sure we never forget what happened, but it's equally important, maybe even more important at this point, to remind people why it happened. And so, you know, the commission on 9/11 was part of what they did. And this campaign to infiltrate our country, to destroy America, to bring down capitalism, to weaken resolve, that's ongoing, right? And it's something that unfortunately a lot of people are being deluded and duped and you know, almost being cultivated. And I think we have to be very, very careful with entertaining these types of ideologies. And certainly we need to outright reject them. And yet, you know, in a free republic, it's an electoral process, and we have to go through the process of, you know, candidates and primaries and midterm elections. But it's all there, and it's an important, very important part of the story that we can't lose sight of.
Yeah. Well, shortly, KLYT on the homepage at klyt.fm will have the voter guides available, and we would encourage you to be registered to vote and participate in the process in November, the first Tuesday in November. And Paul, you know, I think both of us, maybe so far in this, and as far as call to action, talking to Americans and patriots, Paul, as we put a bow on our conversation, can you speak to the body of Christ and what's our place in this and what we really should make sure we meditate on?
Well, you know, when 9/11 hit, everybody flocked to church, and the churches were overflowing. And that was, you know, maybe the best of a terrible situation. I think we still obviously need that type of concentrated emphasis on the Lord, and we can pray, and that is no insignificant tool in our arsenal. So Americans need to continue to pray, not just for their nation, but for their neighbor and for one another, because that's the ultimate end, and that would be the best outcome here. I mean, America is a fragile country. It's a gift from God. I was talking to somebody earlier, and they asked me, whatever happened to that America post 9/11 unification? And I said, you know, there's a lot of it that's still there. You know, we all know people, we go to church. There's millions of people who go to church every Sunday. There's people who still fly their flag. There's still people who, are willing to serve their country. And what a gift that is to all of us. But I just hope we can humble ourselves and bring our cares and concerns to the Lord, because I think he is sovereign, and he is not surprised.
Yeah, well, well said, Paul. Let me share from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen, God is a gentleman. If we want nothing to do with him, he won't force himself on us. So I hope that verse resonates with everyone. And let's remember those who lost, and pray for those families that are still feeling the pain of 9/11. And Paul, thanks so much to you and your team at The Daily Citizen, thedailycitizen.org, for all the work they do, not only on days like this, but throughout the year. And a reminder to our listeners to go and find out more by going to thedailycitizen.org. Paul, open invite. Would love to have you back on anytime.
Well, Steve, I appreciate that, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and a good weekend to come.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.